Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jurgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you.
Friday, England play their oldest rivals, Scotland, at Wembley. So, we've dug deep into the Big Interview archives and unearthed the recollections of three men who engaged in two famous old enemy battles in the 90s. Had things turned out differently, Darren Anderton might have ended up playing for Scotland thanks to his Motherwell-born father. In the end, he chose the country of his birth and played a key role in England's famous 2-0 win over Scotland at Euro 96 when he set up Gazza's incredible goal. I was going to read Gazza out as asterisks, but it doesn't work quite so well in an audio version. What pain. Darren tells us about that heady summer when Three Lions topped the charts and anything, for England at least, seemed possible. From Scotland's perspective, we first hear from the mighty Gary McAllister, who featured in that match's pivotal moment. With the score 1-0 to England, Gary's penalty was saved by David Seaman. Gary Mack takes us back to that incredible moment and how it started an unlikely friendship or companionship with TV psychic Yuri Geller. Bend those forks. 3 years later, Craig Brown's Scotland would restore some pride against England in the second leg of their playoff qualifier for Euro 2000. Scotland trailed 2-0 from the Hampden first leg and would ultimately go out, but not without a brilliant 1-0 Wembley win. The scorer and star of the show that night was the mighty Don Hutchison. Like Darren, Don was born in England to a Scottish father, but chose the right way, the dark blue. That night at Old Wembley was the pinnacle of Don's career, and he relives it beautifully here with us. Scotland and England fans, enjoy this preview episode of The Big Interview, and enjoy the match. May the better team win. You know which one I mean.
I know that you've got a past that we're going to have to speak about that wears a different colour shirt, but are you available for the qualifying campaign and indeed for the Euro Championships this summer? And what's your mental disposition to the country of your heritage?
Well, yes, I would love to be available for that. Job done. I always did think if I ended up playing for Scotland, I might have got a few more caps, to be fair.
130 is odd, it would have been for absolutely sure. And we'd have loved you so much. I have to start and pay tribute to somebody who was just gigantic throughout your life and your career, and who patently was a man of character and good brain, and to whom you owe a lot. Your dad was born in Motherwell. Not everybody listening to this is going to know where that is, but it was a traditional blue-collar steel town, a real working town where men and women of character came from. If I talked about your dad as being down-to-earth, smart, to the point, fun, quit hard, as Motherwell characters are supposed to, am I beginning to scratch the surface of that wonderful man?
Oh, for sure. I think you've said it all there. I mean, it's a perfect way to describe him. He really was very down to earth, kept things real, which was, of course, was very good for me as I embarked on a career which, you know, lots of highs and lows. So it keeps you very grounded, especially in my early years when it felt like my career was just an upward curve of many, many, many positives. But he was always there to have a little bit of a giggle and a joke about things and keep my feet on the ground. And, you know, he was my best friend, very honest. He always told me stories about how he used to play for Rangers. He'd make up these stories. And I would go on journeys with him to Scotland when he did his removals, and it would be like overnight stays, and I just loved it. And it was him and his workman, his pal John, and my dad would just tell these stories, and I believe them all, that my dad was this footballer that played for Rangers, now he scored these goals and he did this and he did that. And of course, once I started getting to 10, 11, I'm playing in football in the garden, I realized just how useless my dad was. Funny enough, when I did go up to Scotland for that trial, and I went up the night before, my dad took, you know, my sister came as well, she was only little, we drove up, my dad took us, you know, showed me our Ibrox and showed me Celtic Park and all that. And it was, yeah. So he didn't carp on about it in any way. I knew he was Scottish. I knew, you know, he used to take me to watch Southampton, so I felt like that was probably like his team. But I knew that these stories and everything else, that he has a strong bond with where he was from in Scotland. So what I was so appreciative, like hopefully you can tell, about what he had done for me, not just to become a footballer and have a chance of being one, but to the way that I grew up. And, you know, I was very spoiled to go that way because, you know, broken families can be really tough for kids. So when the opportunity came that Graham Paddon said, look, you know, Scotland, you know, they've been on the phone, there's some trial, they want you to go and do it. I was like, oh, yeah. And for that reason solely, I mean, in hindsight, I'm glad that it didn't work out, of course. I didn't have to make that decision. But the sole reason I felt like I was doing it was a thank you to him for what he had done for me.
It's really nice. Bet365 are our sponsors, and they've asked, their simple question is, what was it like to be part of the Euro 96 team that went all the way to the semi-final? I can say that as a Scot who, I'm proud of my nation and I like to see my club Aberdeen do brilliantly. They're the only one I support. But I was down in England, I was earning my living there. I was covering that England team and I found them exciting. But also I think that, I don't know whether you were incarcerated away from what was going on in the country, because it was an astonishing time. There was a sense of change, there was a sense of creativity, of energy. And clearly, if you were English at that time in Euro 96, there was this feeling of flowering, irrespective of the song and it's coming home. It just seemed as if everything was clicking at the same time. I don't know if you were housed at Bisham Abbey or where you were, but I remember once speaking to Maka about that and him saying that as a northern guy coming down, he expected cliques, but Ted Buxton and Terry would make sure that everybody mingled after supper or whatever. I think matches where you want to, but the feeling of that summer, that incredible summer. Darren, Euro 96, the things that stand out for you.
It's the feeling that you get from it. It gives you a little tingle. Just that, for that reason, I think it all came together. It started slowly. So Terry Venables, yes, and Ted Buxton, Brian Robson, there's no clicks. They've been there, done it. The players, of course, it comes down to the players as well. That we had 8 or 9 captains in that team. They were incredible. They were leaders. You know, there was definitely no clicks. everyone knew that they were top, top players, but also that it was a team. And that comes down to Terry Venables, making sure that happens, giving you your night out, even if it, you know, it didn't work out as it should. Getting abused by the media like we did became a little bit of a closed ship. You know, let's stick together. No, no, we're just not going to say a lot. We're going to deal with it in-house. Exactly what Terry did. You know, he was going to give us another night off to go home or do whatever you wanted, what would have been after the Scotland game. But because of the Switzerland game, a couple of the boys got photographed coming out of a restaurant or a bar. Terry just said, look, I just can't do it. We'll bring all the families down and you can go and see them on a Sunday in the day and do whatever you want. Just be back for dinner at 7 o'clock. So you just respected that. You knew that he couldn't let you go and have your night out after the Scotland game. Back to the hotel, we'll have a few beers, let's enjoy it, we've got a game Wednesday. That's that feeling of that we were shut away, but then when you left and you went to games and the flags and the people on bridges going down the M40, A40 towards Wembley, as you got closer and closer and people, it felt like you were part of something special. You felt like you were a rock star. It was madness. And whoever we were, I mean, Gazza obviously had had all that, no doubt about it, but no one ever experienced that. No one was ever going to experience it again. It was incredible. And then after the Scotland game, and then the song comes on after the game, and the whole crowd stay there and enjoy it. That was the moment, of course, that mad minute where, you know, Scotland missed the pen and then Gazza goes and scores the wonder goal at the other end. That moment, I feel, that minute is what made that whole summer click.
Never mind mad minute and Gazza scoring, because you're in it. And we like to talk about football vision and intelligence in this. So, again, Gary McAllister's a guest in this series and I was speaking to him. Actually, he sends his regards. I was speaking to him half an hour ago. He's now a champion at Rangers with Steven Gerrard. And I thought, given what happened to him on that afternoon, it was big of him to say, please send Darren a bit, but he did. There's a penalty awarded. Gary, you'd have thought would be a 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 finisher from 11 metres out. David Seaman, top class, might save it, but clearly at the time, you can see it does roll. Gary has said that prior to the tournament, Yuri Geller had said he put crystals all over the place. When we were interviewing Gary for the big interview, Yuri Geller phoned him during the interview. Literally, we're in Leeds as he's describing what happened. Now, that is spooky. But you're on the pitch. You've got the possibility of giving away a goal. David Seaman gets the ball. Can you remember, even if you have to make it up, asterisk, your thought process? Or did you have an established pattern when something might turn around in a game? So it's a penalty. Do you remember even thinking about where you have to move as David Seaman's getting the ball out, which I think is to Teddy? Because famously, you position yourself and you look to see where the ball might go, should go. I don't know, maybe it's a blur, or maybe your memories are just from having looked at it back, but you were a your brain and your vision were fundamental parts of that goal.
Yeah. I mean, the initial reaction is, oh, shit, what have we done? It's deja vu from the previous Saturday against Switzerland. I mean, we definitely played a bit better against Scotland up to that point, but it was a similar thing. You know, we got the goal, then Switzerland came back into the game. So you're straight away thinking, oh, no, we've blown it here. We're in big, big trouble. And I think if that goal goes in, the confidence completely drains out of us. No doubt about it, after what happened the week before. So, I mean, what a moment. Then that lift and, you know, just running up the pitch. Of course, I've played with Teddy now. The relationship we have, I know that he brings the ball down. I'm against the thing. You can see the run coming from Gazza. God, Ted, pass up, you know, third man run. Gazza's in. You know, it's there. You can see it all happening in front of you. So as the ball comes to me, it's a pretty simple ball, you know, played into his path. And then you just think, I mean, I thought he was going to hit it, you know, with his left foot myself, but when it became slow motion, there's no doubt about it. It's like, oh wow, this is the one. And of course, when you're involved in a goal as well, that you even get that extra little bit of a buzz. And you know, I always enjoyed being part of setting up goals and that sort of thing, which of course, when it's a great goal like that, it's even better. In a game like that, against Scotland, with what we've already spoke about my dad and everything. So when it went in, and then the celebration, which just summed it up, was just incredible. That feeling is one of the best feelings I've ever had, because the pressure was so intense, and the feeling really was, shit, we're in big trouble here. You know, Scotland started to come into the game. You know, they were looking strong. So that moment is everything to us, and shows you what football's all about. It's all about little moments. You could have played great, and of course against Holland, everything we did went right. But that's that moment. That is exactly what was going through my mind.
Do you think if Gazza, and this is supposition, do you think if Gazza's not playing in Scotland, then he doesn't choose the impish thing? Because I've always felt, because he'd been astonishing in Scotland, he'd been genuinely, and he'd begun to enjoy himself so much, and he felt king of the walk. He was mucking around with McCoist and Gorham, and up there it was just pure head. But he's got Gorham to beat, it's Colin Henry. I think he's, if it's against any other side, he probably takes the easiest, coolest finish. But because it's Scotland, he's like, lads, get ready.
Every chance. I mean, because the boys used to wind him up about it, and then, you know, you won up in Scotland and all that. So they used to get all sorts of grief from the boys in the camp and that. So, but you could sense it before the game. You know, he's mucking around with Coisty and Andy Gorham. You knew he was desperate to score against Gorham. Absolutely desperate. And to do something like that, and genius. I mean, that's exactly what it was. That's, you know, the first game he hadn't played great. He got all the stick because he was the main man for the dentist chair out in Hong Kong and all that. And he didn't say anything. He didn't retaliate. He just got on with his football and did what you should do. You answer on the pitch. And it, you know, the perfect story for Gazza to score against Scotland.
Before the rest of this big interview, I'd like to tell you that our entire archive of audio and video content is now on our new YouTube channel. We've begun filming all of our interviews, and there are already loads of clips with guests, including Rio Ferdinand, Connor Cody, Brendan Rodgers and Jamie Carragher, plus full interviews for you to watch and to share. Please do share with friends. Go to YouTube and search Graham Hunter, or click on the link in the show notes to this episode and become a subscriber. I honestly think you'll enjoy it. Thanks.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the last few episodes, we've talked a lot about penalties, mm-hmm. and I don't mean Wembley. We talked.
I'll tell you about
Michael
Wembley
Carrick.
My phone was nearly just went off there.
Uh-oh.
And there's a chap that still to this day calls me, staking his claim that he made the ball move. And if you want to look at there, if people ask me what's the best contact you've got on your phone, I've got Yuri Geller, who's still sending
me. No, it's not Yuri. I don't believe
when
you.
When this pops up and. On the radio, he'll have his people, and he'll be back on. God bless him.
He'll be on saying, "I made Gary talk about that."
Yeah, he's
And listen, folks, all you subscribers at the big interview, there is a weirdly shaped fork on the table here that, when we began chatting, was straight. It's funny, like, oh, you beautifully—I don't know if that's a tactic—you battered me off course on the penalty muscle memory thing, because
When I moved down to London at Daily Mail, I had to cover England for my sins, mm-hmm. which was great. It was absolutely fabulous. And Yuri was about. And Yuri, either by invitation of Glenn, who had no other strange... Yuri was planting crystals in four corners of the 1998 stadia to make sure that England couldn't lose. And when they beat Morocco or Tunisia mm-hmm. in the first game in Marseille, where Glenn puts David Beckham on the bench, Yuri claimed the credit, saying they couldn't score because I didn't know he did a saying at Euro 96.
Oh yeah,
Yuri, I'm not impressed.
He made the ball move, and I don't know. You know, there's a point when you're a penalty taker. There's a point of no return when you're a penalty taker. Yeah. When you plant your standing foot, and for me, I still, as I'm going down to hit the ball, I'll still have a little look under here to see if the keeper's moving his feet and trying to go really early and try to read it. But then when you're upon the ball, you know. So when I see the ball moving, mm-hmm. half a ball, mm-hmm. you can imagine there's a million things in a millisecond. I'm thinking, if I stop, I'll fall over the ball. I'm mm-hmm. at Wembley. I'm playing. I'm captain.
Please
of the country.
God, let's not do
so
that.
That's right. So there's that. I think. Well, I try and just run over it. And if I glance at it, I've took it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking, this is all going through me. So the decision is just to blast it. Seaman makes a save.
It's on target. Seaman has to make a save.
And they go up and Gazza scores the wonder goal.
But when you talk about... thanks, guys. That's probably Yuri as well. When you talk about muscle memory and penalties, I mean, I genuinely was intrigued. I don't want to hammer a theme, but I'm into it now because... Michael Carrick was talking about Moscow and the tension and what was going on in his head and how he decided to run up to it and, mm-hmm. and get there quickly and what he decided to do and what he felt like when it went in and on and on and on. And then Dr. Gaizka Mendieta, who until he came to England, and even then he only missed like one, just didn't miss mm-hmm. and scored and scored and scored. He did a Dennis Irwin, but he did a Dennis Irwin at the Bernabeu and he did it for Spain and whatever. And, you know, I'm into understanding... I've always disagreed with people who say, particularly coaches, say, well, it doesn't matter how much you practice. No. The tension is the tension and the crowd changes things. Mm-hmm. But it does matter how much you practice.
Absolutely.
Because if you're worried about your technique and then there's the pressure on top of it, there's a bigger chance you're going to miss.
Because I totally agree. And that goes with free kicks. It goes with, you know, I would put the same in the same bracket and... You know, come the last minute and the ball breaks nicely to you in your centre. You see the centre forward at the corner of your eye. If you've hit 200 or 300 balls across a training field, diagonals, that last minute and it comes, it lands, and you just drop it there. That's because you've practiced. That's just no natural. That's something that you've actually put yourself in, and because you know the pressure's on, but you know you can hit it, so you're confident. You can just go boom.
I think it's one less thing you're thinking about too. Mm. Particularly in that distribution you're talking about, where there's somebody you're aiming at rather than aiming at a net. Mm-hmm. You can look at, you can start to think about where's the wind, what's the drift, does this keeper like to come for it? Is Lee somebody who goes front post or back post? Even whatever
there's loads of your
mind.
There's loads of stuff.
You're not thinking about your foot in the bottom.
This is something, again, that I just... over the years of playing football and playing golf, you know, hitting a one iron into the wind is a different trajectory. You know, if you're playing into the wind in a football patch, you're going to have to hit it differently. If you set it up, it'll just balloon. So there's that sort of punch drive, mm-hmm. which it's like an old Scottish shot on a links course.
On a links course, yeah.
So there's so many little things that go through your mind, and again, you're going to need little bits of visualisation of seeing the pass and seeing how you want to hit it. There's loads of things coming to your mind. My penalty kick taking technique was, I copied Glenn Hoddle. I sort of bent my run up, so I would go away and arrive at the ball at an angle, and I favoured high up into the keeper's left. That would be my stop penalty. So I'd open my
right
body
foot
up
to your right to the keeper's left.
Yeah, keeper's left. But then if the keeper went early, I would just simply wrap my foot round it and go low into the other corner.
Did you ever loft it? Did you ever Panenka it?
Never did that. Never. That takes a bit.
I remember that when I was growing up watching all this, after Panenka did it, which the whole world went mad, particularly because they beat Germany, which I was just doing cartwheels on. It was years and years and years till people started trying it.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could ever do it. just the consequences to your teammates if you,
yeah,
if you miss.
It seems worse if you miss that one, does it?
Oh, absolutely.
What was your dad's accent like?
It wasn't as strong, I think, because he came down from Nairn to be a miner when he was 17. He left the family home to try and put money on the table for his mum and dad. So by the time I was growing up, he had it, but it wasn't as strong. Tough man, 6'4", hard as you like, worked really hard. He was a cricket man more than football. Rangers was his sort of his team, but he wasn't overly obsessed with football. But, you know, adored him for what he was, but he was tough. And I only ever seen him cry once. In the whole of my life, I seen him cry once, and it was at Wembley when I scored the winner. Huh. And I said, "Are you all right, Dad?" And he, yeah. I'm like, tears just coming, eyes red. Wasn't sobbing, wasn't like bawling,
because
he wouldn't allow himself to bawl. But easily just the most standout moment of my life, seeing the old man having a tear.
And so he's at Wembley, and for those who don't remember, it's 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Scotland have got to the verge of a tournament.
Yeah.
Having been at the World Cup the year before, and for umpteen prior to that, from 74 onwards. And my memory is that Scotland played quite well at Hampden in the first leg of that.
Yeah,
and
played really well.
Got picked off by a gem of a player.
Incredible.
In Paul Scholes.
Yeah.
But before you even talk about your dad being at Wembley, what was the challenge to you about going down to Wembley? You'd always considered, apart from who you played for, you'd always considered yourself Scottish?
Always. All my pictures of being a kid in the Scotland strip. Got a lovely picture of me and my dad were at Butlins, and he's standing there with a big, as we mentioned, Graham Souness, big sort of handlebar moustache. And I'm sitting there with my blue Scotland top on, and I never wanted to play for anyone else.
So when you're heading down to Wembley, there's a lot riding on it that's beyond the professional, that's beyond the bonuses, that's beyond qualifying for the European Championship. There's a national pride fired in you since a child. Was it always the case that your dad went? At what point when you arrive at a game like that Wembley one, where you just cut off and think, you forget that your family or your friends are there and watching?
Footballers are very, once you get your tickets and you know who you're leaving them for, is the process is quite simple. Before the game, four tickets, Douglas Hutchison's picking them up, left by Don Hutchison, put them in an envelope, give them to the secretary, forgot straight away who's coming. That's it. Some of the most stressful thing for footballers, and even modern day footballers, I would agree, is sorting out tickets, who's coming, family, friends, where they're sitting, are they in the seats okay, have they got lounge tickets for before and after. And once you get that all that migraine off your head and that's dealt with, because that's just an annoyance for footballers, having these little things to deal with apart from in your little selfish bubble, the game's the most important thing, which will always be. But make sure they're taken care of. Once the tickets are picked up, done.
Was it one of the best performances of your career that night at Wembley? Goal aside, you played really. Looking back at the footage, Scotland as a team with you at the linchpin was using the ball well.
Yeah.
Very organised, very confident. A step on, never mind the scoreline from the Saturday as well. Just Wembley, so what?
Yeah.
Premier League players, so what?
It felt like I've always enjoyed being in the Lions' Den. You know, whether playing for Sunderland against Newcastle at St James's Park, scoring a goal, which I'm a Newcastle fan, having played for Everton and Liverpool in Merseyside derbies for both sides, being born in England, playing for Scotland, I've never done anything the conventional way. It's always been against the grain. But secretly, that used to fire me up. I remember... and going back to the early game where you mentioned at Hampden, we competed quite well. There was nothing much in the game. Paul Scholes got a couple of headers, which was ludicrous, really, because we'd done all the prep on, you know, people like Tony Adams, people like Martin Keown, people like Alan Shearer, people like Paul Ince, all coming in the box from wide free kicks and corners, down to every single detail. And no one had Paul Scholes arriving in the box. We had him on either taking free kicks or being on the edge of the 18-yard box for headers coming out and taking shots at target. And he scored a couple of goals, and there was ructions going on in the dressing room who was picking them up, and no one literally had a clue. But I can remember clear as day being standing at Wembley, England to one side, Scotland to the other, and the national anthems were going. And when the Scottish national anthem went off, the, not abuse, but the boos inside the stadium were so loud, it can either make you sink or go, this is what football's all about.
Yeah, definitely.
And I always had that in my belly. The tougher the task, the harder the environment, I'd like to think that's what got me going, and I played it probably my best.
I'll show you.
Yes, exactly that. And I've not seen the game for quite a number of years, but whenever I see it, and my memories of the game, was every single Scottish player in that 11 outplayed the English.
Mm-hmm.
In every department, wherever you want to look.
It felt that way.
It felt that way. Alan Shearer and Michael Owen never got a kick. David Beckham never got a kick. Barry Ferguson and John Collins dominated, I think it was Paul Scholes and Paul Ince. Me and Billy Dodds, he was the legs, and I come into that little pocket where, because I couldn't run in behind anymore, wasn't a cross-country anymore, I was now starting to get more of a tactical brain and being a bit more cute, and my first touch was always pretty decent. And I was just getting into them pockets where Tony Adams and Gareth Southgate on the night didn't want to be in. They missed Martin Keown massively.
Where was the stepladder? Have you ever jumped that high?
What do you mean?
Wembley.
No.
Is that the highest you've ever jumped
ever,
in your career?
Ever. Again, I think it's just...
It was a big jump.
It was just ridiculous because things happen in football every now and again where you're at your peak, and you see things coming an absolute mile off.
Wow.
And we kept hold of the ball, and the passage of play was brilliant. Neil McCann got played in down the left hand side, and Neil was a very good cross of the ball. He never really whipped them hard and low. He always had an appreciation for, if it was Billy Dodds going to the near post, he'd whip it in hard and low, because Billy probably wasn't as good as what I was in the air. Likewise, if he saw me in the box, he wouldn't try and drill one hard and low, he'd stand it up for me. And as he stood the ball quite deep towards the corner flag, I had so much time to judge the flight of it. And that's probably where, again, you see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'll use it in my mate's Einstein terms of judging the trajectory of the cross and how much pace is on it. And it was floated beautifully. And all I had to do, was just make sure the timing of my jump was on. Because I knew I had the run on Tony Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it was one of them where I don't know if it's adrenaline, I don't know what it is, but it was easily the highest I've ever jumped. The timing was brilliant. Wasn't the strongest ahead of us. Billy Dodds trying to nick it as it was going over the line, which I would have been fuming. And my boy always claims it was an own goal. And I went, what? Own goal? He went, David Seaman should have saved that. Technically, it's an own goal by the keeper. He just doesn't want to give me any credit.
No.
It's not.
It's a thing of absolute towering beauty.
Yeah. And easily probably the biggest thing that's ever happened in my life.
And your dad was there.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.